War. We are at war. Like Moses in the desert against Amalek, the people of God, the Catholic Church, and all faithful Christians must realize that they will never have authentic peace in this world. As Christ tells us in the Gospel of John, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble. But we have to live in this troubled world. So what do we do? And especially with something like the upcoming election looming over our heads, we want to wish for perhaps a great candidate out of nowhere, or a talented lawyer, maybe a few great Supreme Court justices who can help us to survive the battles we find ourselves facing. We want to look for people who have the skill and resources to turn the tide. This is not a bad desire, and finding those people would be a great help. Joshua, in the first reading, was careful to pick well-trained soldiers, to devise a wise battle plan, and to do his best in fighting against the enemy. But Scripture is barely even concerned with that. It doesn't even bother to tell us how many people are fighting or who died that day. Since we know that Scripture is useful for teaching, what do we learn today? It is teaching us about prayer. And from the perspective of God's revelation, the deciding factor of the battle is not who has the better warriors, but whether or not Moses is praying. Raising up your hands is a form of prayer for the ancient Israelites. And we still have a similar understanding when I tell you all to lift up your hearts at the beginning of the preface and Eucharistic prayer. What decides the battle is whether or not Moses is praying, and praying without stopping even for a moment. He was allowed to sit down and even to have a little help, but he had to keep praying. And this is true for us today, probably even more so. It even sometimes applies to an actual battle. Just do some research about the Battle of New Orleans or the Battle of Lepanto to see examples where prayer made a difference in a fight. But today, even more importantly, the liturgy is urging us to understand the importance of prayer in all of our struggles, especially when we're not sure how things will turn out. Paul often tells us to pray constantly in his letters in Scripture. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton often said, "Pray without ceasing." And I could fill this entire homily and whole collections of books with nothing but quotes from saints about the importance and power of prayer. Over and above all of that, I can give you Christ's own words in the gospel today. He gives us this odd parable about an old woman who literally annoys a judge until he gives in and gives her what she wants. And then he compares that situation to us with God. In all seriousness, Jesus Christ is telling us to annoy God with how much and how often we pray. If you are tired of the mess of the world and don't know what to do about it, pray for it. Yes, we're going to have to vote and we have to make decisions in our lives. There will always be disagreements about politics and economics and other social issues. But relying on our power and reason, looking for someone with the right skills to help save us, will mean nothing if we are not supported by prayer. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It is interesting that Jesus suddenly asks this question after talking primarily about prayer. What is the connection between faith and prayer? Most of us intuit that they're connected, But how would we describe that connection? Well, there are a few different dimensions to consider. First of all, it takes faith that there is a God before you can pray to him. You have to believe that he exists and that he can hear you before you spend time talking to him. Consider the fact that we say our creed, our profession of faith, right before we say our universal prayers. Secondly, the word faith also means fidelity. Prayer, and especially the kind of prayer that Jesus is telling us about today, means persistence. You have to be faithful to the act of praying. Thirdly, prayer allows our faith, our belief, and our trust in God to grow, even when we don't get the answer that we want. The very fact that you spend time and energy talking to God, listening to him, and wanting him to be involved in your life opens a little window in your heart, mind, and soul, which allows his grace to increase your faith, so long as you keep it open. And speaking of talking and listening to God, how do you understand prayer? Is prayer always and only when you tell God what you want, like a Christmas wish list? I think you know that answer. It is not just a wish list. There are many forms of prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving, reflection on Scripture, contemplation, listening to God, and best of all, simply being with him and enjoying his presence. But I don't want to dismiss the idea of asking God for something, because that is exactly what Christ is talking about today. St. Thomas Aquinas, doctor of the church, one of the greatest theological minds to have ever lived, teaches that we should not be afraid to ask God for anything. For anything. Even when we ask for things that are bad for us, we benefit from the fact that we treat God as though he is both real enough and powerful enough to have an impact in our lives. True, Christ tells us that God will see to it that justice is done for those who pray, which means he probably won't give you a new Ferrari or help you do something like rob a bank. But it doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't ask. Even if what we want is bad, and it often is, taking God seriously enough to pray to him about it will change us. Besides the fact that God already knows everything you want anyway, it's not like you can hide it from him and it's going to make it all better. That's exactly why praying to God makes such a difference. He knows already, but praying gives him permission to be a part of your life. It makes him a part of that inner conversation we have with ourselves. It gives him a place at the table. It treats him as though we care about him enough to include him in that decision-making process. Praying, even praying badly, helps us to develop the habit of acknowledging God in our lives. It allows him to be present. And God's presence is powerful. With enough exposure to it, even with our mixed motives, God's presence in our prayer life will change us. The only thing that we need to worry about in asking God for something is to make sure that we are actually asking him and not merely talking to ourselves or worse, to a false God. It's easy to let our imagination take over and create our own version of God and talk to that version. Or sometimes evil spirits will subtly influence our thoughts and feelings to give us a false impression of what God is saying to us in our prayer. And this is why St. Paul tells us to remain faithful to what we have learned, because you know from whom you learned it. Knowing where an idea came from is important. We have scripture and church teaching to guide us, and we know that it comes from God, that Christ came 2,000 years ago to give us the church, to inspire scripture, to give us the truth. So that when something in our prayer life seems to contradict what we know from the teachings of the church, we can be sure that this comes from somewhere other than God, a feeling, an imagination, a funny lunch. The teachings of the church, the scriptures, are like an external guide that help us to sort through the interior confusion that we have in our conversation with God. And this is all the more reason to pray with confidence. We are not alone, even in our private prayer. Not to mention all the prayers that we can say with and for one another. The everlasting prayer of the liturgy of the church. So I urge you, be honest with yourself about all of the concerns that you have with politics, with your family life, with people and political maneuvers in the church herself. Pray to God for all of these and do not stop praying. Be persistent, because for Christians, perseverance is the name of the game. It determines everything. If we persevere, we are saved. If we do not, we are not. Ask God for the grace to pray better, to be faithful to pray. Pray, my dear people. Pray in your thoughts as you go throughout the day. Find a time to dedicate prayer to God every day, 15 minutes. Work your way up to a half hour, to an hour more. I really don't know how else to stress the importance of prayer. And so I will close with 5 words from a dear saint, Padre Pio. He was very fond of telling people when they were anxious or concerned. He would say to them simply, pray, hope, and don't worry.